Hi everyone, welcome to the call. I can see that Kim just joined us. Hi Kim, glad you're here. Oh, and your camera's on too. Hi, lovely.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for thinking of me.
It's my pleasure.
So are we the only one on the call right now at this second?
We are at this second. Let me just double check and see if we are recording. So give me just a second in case you need to say something that's more private.
Let me
pause it. It's good. Hi there. Welcome, Christina. And I'm not sure it is calling in from the 619 number, but I'm glad you're here.
Deanna, how do I mute myself? Because there might be background noise.
Sure. I can actually go ahead and mute you if you'd like. And then all you have to do, just perfect timing, Christina, thank you for that, is there's going to be a mute button in the bottom left-hand corner if you're on the computer. And on the phone, that's a really good question. I'm not sure exactly. So I'll go ahead and mute you for right now.
Well, it'd be better if I could figure out how to mute and unmute myself.
Yes, that would that's be awesome. True. It would. I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone right now, just so that we can go ahead and get
okay.
started. Christina, I'm going to find you that answer.
Okay, and I'm going to turn my video off. Is that okay?
That'll be just fine, doll. And Jeannie's here. Hi, Jeannie. I've just muted all of the callers on the phone for right now so we can get started. But don't worry, this is going to be super interactive. I am not trying to be a talking head. Well, that would only make sense if you're viewing the video. But I'm not going to try to lecture for the time that we're together today. This is really participatory. And that's because I know that you're going to get more out of it with that in mind. So I want to welcome all of you for being here. And thank Christina for letting us know. It's star 6. To mute and unmute your line. Right now I have everyone muted so that we can kick things off with a nice quiet recording, and we'll definitely have opportunity for you to participate later. As a matter of fact, participation is going to be the key to getting out of this course what you want to get out of it. So let me just start by saying hi and welcome everyone to Hiring the Best Talent. As you know, I'm Deanna Mayo and I'm your host today. I am so excited to share this course with you. I have to tell you, after having been in my own business for 8 years, having hired and managed over 400 individual people, that's not 400 tasks, that's not 400 projects, that's 400 people, I've only had to fire 4. And the reason for that is my hiring process works. It's not magic. It's not something I was born knowing how to do. It is not a talent that was innate in me. It's something that I've learned, and now I get to share it with you, and I'm so excited. So as we kick off today, I do want to cover a couple of housekeeping things. So first off, I do recommend that you close any other programs running on your computer. If you have a hardwired network connection, that's best, but Zoom is really great for wireless, so we should be in good shape. You'll notice that there's a chat button in the bottom toolbar on Zoom where you can display the chat and participate with us there, and we will ask you to do that today, so I hope you're ready for that. And if you do want to mute or unmute your microphone from the computer desktop, you've got a little button in your bottom toolbar, or as Christina helped us learn, thank you Christina, it's star 6 to mute or unmute your line if you're on the phone. So that's our housekeeping stuff for today, and that's what the chat message looks like, or the chat box looks like. So if you're here right now and you're excited, go ahead and give me a woohoo or a yeehaw or a I'm excited in the chat box and let me know you're here. Hi, Christina. Love that. You guys are so fun already. This is going to be a blast. All right. Super. Jeannie says woohoo, which actually sounds a lot like you, Jeannie. And Kim says she's excited. Awesome. Thanks so much, everyone. I do know I have a fair number of people that have registered who couldn't be here live or who can be here for part of it. So, of course, we'll welcome them with open arms. And if you are watching the recording, please know that I'm glad you're paying this much attention to your business. You're giving your business the gift of learning these tools. I'm telling you, they will change your life. Because every bad hire in your business not only impacts you monetarily, and actually the recent data says that when you hire someone and it doesn't work out, it actually costs you their annual salary, whether that's part-time or full-time, to retrain, recoup, get yourself back up, brush yourself off, and find that new person. Up to 3 times annual salary, depending on the level of position in your business, you know, really high-level positions. So hiring is expensive when you do it wrong. And I'm here to tell you today, I have got a proven system I'm going to share with you, and I'm so excited. So I am your host today, and I want you to think of my role like that of a director. The truth is, the hiring process also works that way too for your company. It goes beyond identifying skills, education, work experience, knowledge. While those are all important things for us to consider, when we really examine a person's talents, then we can figure out how those talents best match up with the job responsibilities. And so my goal for us today is that each of you learns how to really hire the very best talent, whether it's full-time, part-time, interns, volunteers even. You still have to go through the same process. And so this course is really all about how to select the individual whose skills and talents best match the job or position. So our goals for today are to help you to learn how to utilize techniques to really discover that person's skills and talents, right? Because sometimes people will say they're good at something, but they're actually not. To develop questions to identify top performers, and I've got some here for you today that you can get started with, and you may want to decide to create some of your own depending on the position you're hiring for. How to really conduct that talent interview so that it's effective, not a waste of your time, whether that be face-to-face or virtually. And then how to listen for certain factors in that person's response so you can really get to the heart of what it is that they're saying. So often, whether it's in personal relationships, business relationships, interviews, I hear people listen for the thing they want to hear instead of actually listening to what's being said. So I want to help you to avoid that challenge because you can end up hiring someone who's not a good fit for you. And, well, it's expensive monetarily, but energy-wise, it's a big, big drain on your energy as well and your time. I mean, that's the thing, right, is we can always make more money. I can go out and hustle for more business, but I can't ever get my time back once it's gone. And those of you that know me, and really everyone here today knows me pretty well, you know I value my time. Because once it's gone, it's gone. And I've up to big stuff in the world. I don't have time to waste. And I know you don't either. So what I'd like to do is give us an opportunity to kind of get our heads here in the game. I know with virtual training, it can be easy to multitask. So I'm going to encourage you to not do that. I'm looking at you. I'm just kidding. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I would like for you to chat into the chat box. Just briefly tell me, you know, I know most of you, but you know, if you consider yourself a business owner, a coach, a leader, what you would call your role. And I'd also love if you could just share a quick interview experience that either went really well or didn't go so well, whether you were the interviewer or the interviewee. And while you're thinking of that, I'm going to tell you mine, model it for you. So I consider myself a business owner and a consultant and trainer. And my most challenging interview experience was when I was being interviewed for a job. I wasn't qualified on paper for the role at all. And I knew that the guy interviewing me was going to try to test me or just check out if I really had the goods. Well, it was for an HR position. And I didn't have any formal HR experience. It was in the training and development area of this business. And he asked me an illegal interview question. He asked me when I graduated high school, We'll get into later why that's illegal. And I thought, well, how do I handle it? Because I could call him out and say, oh, you're not allowed to ask me that. And then that's going to knock his ego down and we might be on shaky footing. Or I could, or I could say, ha ha, you were testing me. And so that's what I did. And it worked out. I got the job. And 8 years, 8 years ago, I quit that job and started my business. So let's hear from you in the chat box. Share with me an interview experience that maybe went well or didn't go so well. I'd like to hear from a couple of you. And I'm seeing on my private messaging that a few of you have had some trouble finding the right link. If you've got it, let me know. I'm sorry about that. We had a little miscommunication there. So no interview experiences, huh? They've all been perfect. Every interview you've ever been in, every interview you've ever given. I know that can't be true. So everyone must be thinking really intently. I'm going to go ahead and move forward, and we'll come back to it a little bit later if you think of one. Oh, perfect. Jeannie just said, interviewed for an art director position. He loved me but had no position for me. Well, that's lame. Christina says, I have a hard time knowing more on virtual positions. Yeah. It is so lame. And I'll tell you what, Christina's chatting some more too. The thing about this is I do see people meet someone they're interested in and they really like, and they want to chat with them about, you know, the possibility of working together. But most of the time, they don't come out and say that and set the expectation. Like, we don't have anything now. I'd like to get to know you. I've definitely created positions for people that I've met that were a good fit for working with me in my company, but I didn't have anything really, like, right then. So it's a valuable technique, but we need to be clear and upfront with everyone. Jeannie says, I told him I'd work for free for the first week to prove my value. Wow. Christina says, I want a way to tell how intelligent a person is in a virtual hire. I never meet them in person, but I want to be able to judge their intelligence in a virtual way. Yeah, so we can definitely cover some of that today, and I'm happy to chat with that, you know, about that too privately. You know, people are on their best behavior during the interview experience, aren't they? And we have to build relationship with them quickly so that they drop that facade and actually show us their true selves. And for some positions, you might want to do some sort of aptitude testing or a test task to see how they do. We'll dig into that a little bit more later. Awesome. All right, so here's what I want you to think about. You know, we definitely can learn from all these examples you've shared already. Great interviews, bad interviews, and the funny aspects of going into an interview. You know, things like, gosh, I've seen people call people the wrong name. Anyway, it's just, you know, we're all humans, so we make mistakes. But part of an effective interview is making sure that your applicant feels at ease enough and comfortable enough with you and the situation. So a bit of levity can work some wonders. But because if you don't diffuse that energy of them being nervous, they're never going to be themselves with you. And so in the following exercise, we're going to have an opportunity to create a new mindset when it comes to interviewing. Not only focusing on an applicant's talents, but also viewing a job as a role to be filled. Much of what's done in the hiring process can be likened to casting a film. So we're going to use that language and those techniques associated with casting a film today throughout our course to illustrate that point. So casting a movie is really similar to interviewing candidates to fill a role. When you cast a movie, all the actors who are auditioning have experience. The question is, are the skills and the talent right for the role? One actor may be great as a lead in a dramatic role, but maybe not so much for a comedy. So let's try it now. We're going to read a brief description of four parts in a movie, along with a sample line from the script. And then you're going to use the chat window to help me identify which actor you think would be best for the part. So here we go. The four parts we're going to cast are the heiress. She's young, beautiful, naive. She's the heiress to the Blick family fortune. They make ballpoint pens. Her most repeated line in the script is, I can't possibly do that. What would Daddy say? This is fun. The next role is the computer geek. He's pale, unshaven, quirky, loves computers. He's the unlikely hero of our film. He calls out at the action-packed climax, "Oh my gosh, it was the ballpoint pen that jammed it." Next, we have the rugged individualist, strong, handsome, photogenic ski racing champion. His motto, from which the title of the film derives, is "Fear is not an option." Then we have the nanny. She's mature, patient, and a kind family friend and employee of the Blick family. She raised the Blick children with a firm hand and a no-nonsense attitude. Her life perspective is reflected in her often repeated line, "It'll be all right now, dearie. Nothing that a good cup of hot cocoa can't take care of." Now, the talent you have to work with, we've got Louise Lately. She has a long, distinguished career in theater and film. Most recently, she received an Oscar for her performance as the family matriarch in the film "It Ain't Over Until I Say So." We also have Ron Woods. He's a highly respected, talented young actor, writer, and director. And his career began as a child actor in the surprise hit film "A Parent's Worst Nightmare." Judy Wong is a frequent teen magazine model. She's played in an action-adventure TV series for 3 seasons as the accident-prone but well-meaning kid sister of a brother who runs a fly-by-night detective agency. And lastly, we have Hank Johnson, 2-time Oscar nominee. Hank is a highly versatile actor who has become known as hashtag Hank after 3 straight years of being the top-searched celebrity online. So using the chat box with me, who would you cast for each of the roles? Let's start with the heiress. Who do you think you'd cast as the heiress in our film? Judy. Everyone says Judy. All right. Kim says Louise. Nice. And who would you cast as the computer geek? Ron Woods, Christina says. Yep. Ron from Anita. Hi, Anita. Love you. Jeannie says Ron. Yep. Okay, we've got some consensus here. How about the rugged individualist? Who do you think you might cast as him? Hank. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, the nanny. Who do you think you might cast as the nanny? Judy. Mm-hmm. Great. So the idea here is that this is just, Anita says, Louise by default. I like the way you play this game. It's like how I play Clue. So this is just a fun activity to remind us that just like a movie role, being the casting director, each role in our organization requires different skills and talents. So when we're hiring someone, what do you think is gained by thinking of the process more like casting a film? Why don't you chat that into the chat box now? Christina likes the analogy. I thought you might, knowing that you have a love of theater and musical theater in your family. So what's gained when we think of it by like casting a film? Anita says matching talent with skills and with position. Yep, you got it. Maybe it causes us to focus on talents and not just the other things that we have in mind. Kim says it takes personality into account. Absolutely. Jeannie says you look for how their qualities match the task at hand. That's right, exactly. You know, when we view the job as a role to be filled, instead of we're focusing just on if we like that person, we avoid a lot of challenges, and it really does make for a better fit. One of my favorite expressions is to hire for attitude and train for skill. If you have the luxury, you can hire both, but in many cases, people just hire for skill and not for attitude, and that's when you end up with someone who could do the job and makes your life miserable as they're doing it, because they're not a fit for your company culture. And I know many of you on the call, listening to the recording, you might think you don't even have company culture. You might not even have, you know, full-time help. Maybe you have a part-time VA or interns. But I'll tell you, you're creating culture in your organization whether you're actively doing it or not, right? By virtue of not being mindful of it, you are, in fact, creating it. And one of the ways that you can create great talent, besides taking my Inspiring Culture in the Workplace class in a couple weeks, is to really be mindful about the personalities and the attitudes that you're hiring. And I will gladly repeat it, Anita. We hire for attitude and train for skill. Nice job, everyone. I love how you're getting your mind into the process here. So when it comes to casting a part in a movie, the film director has to have a couple things in place. They have a casting call and auditions, and then they'll offer the role to the actor they've selected. Likewise, when you're filling a role in your company, there are three main steps you're going to consider: seeking, interviewing, and selecting, or casting call, auditioning, and offering the part. Each of these steps contains activities to be completed, and for each step, let's first identify the activities for casting a film and then the equivalent activities for hiring the best talent. Oh, Christina, thanks. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. All right, so when you are a film director casting a role in a movie, you're going to read the script, you're going to identify the film's character requirements, you know, their age, their height, etc., the qualities and the characteristics they need to bring, and you're likely going to develop questions to ask those who audition. So you're going to announce a casting call. Likewise, in your business, when you're filling a role, you're going to take those steps as well. So when you're getting ready to fill a role, how do you prepare to find the right person for that role? Let's use the chat to respond, because I know there's a lot of wisdom out there already. So when you're filling a role, how do you prepare to find the right person for that role? Yes, Jeannie, understand what needs done first. Boy, you are certainly my friend. You've heard me say that probably 8 million times if you've heard me say it once, right? Ask for referrals after that. Yep, write up the job description. Man, you guys are on the hook. You are amazing. That's exactly right. Things like the job description, identifying what needs to get done, you know, determining the qualities of a top performer. Maybe you'll develop some hiring criteria and start formulating some questions. Understanding personality styles definitely helps. And I'm a big believer that anybody can do any job, but it may drain them more if it's not a fit for their personality. So many of you might know, I am a qualified or certified Myers-Briggs facilitator. As a matter of fact, I have my Myers-Briggs mug today. I'm an ENFJ, if that means anything to you. And I've actually had jobs that would have been really not aligned to these personality types. Like I, can you believe this? As an extrovert, I had a job where I sat in a cube and I reviewed code all day. Seriously? And I was good at it. I crossed the T's and dotted the I's and made sure everything was perfect. It was very off personality for me, but I was able to do it. I was exhausted at the end of every day. I didn't really love it, but I was successful in the job. That was a good fit for me at the time, but if I had the opportunity to craft the role however I wanted it so I could most succeed, it would not have been alone in a cube all day, I can tell you that. Christina says, I'm an ENFJ too. I thought so. We gotta stick together, us gals, our ENFJ gals. Of course, I love every type because every personality brings something valuable to the table. And just because I have a type doesn't mean I ever don't act outside of that, right? Just like handedness. I'm right-handed. It's what feels most natural to me and most comfortable. Do I use my left hand? Well, of course I do. I have to. All right, so let's move on to how this process really works out. So when you're a director and you're auditioning, you're going to invite those that you wish to audition prepare questions to ask during the audition, maybe film the audition, and then watch them on film, right? When you're interviewing, what are some of the things you want to focus on? Let's have you use the chat box and let me know. Christina says, I like to hire introverts as personal assistants who come to my house. Yeah, because if they talk too much and they want to interact with you too much, they're not going to get the work done, right? I would be a terrible personal assistant for you. We'd have too much fun. Probably never get much done. So what are some of the things that you want to focus on when you're auditioning or interviewing someone for your business? Exactly, Nita. How much attention do they pay to detail? Are they introverted versus extroverted? Do they have the ability to meet deadlines? Yes. I like to look at things like how they respond to questions that I ask. You know, are they listening carefully to what I'm saying? I listen for how they express themselves. And let's see. Christina says attention to details is tops. Yeah, for certain positions and for most of what you all are probably looking for, absolutely. Because most everyone on the call is the big picture visionary for their business, right? You're the one at the top of the pyramid or the top of the org chart. And Jeannie says, do I like them? Yeah, we're spending a lot of time with these people, right? Maybe it's in person, maybe it's by phone, but if we don't like them, it's going to be difficult to work together. Anita says, someone who compliments my skills, can they follow through? Jeannie says, can they read my mind? LOL. You know nobody can do that, girl. So that's a lost cause, which is why I know you're right, laughing out loud. I tell you what, I've taken the mind reading class. I can't pass it. Nobody else can either, right? There are no mind readers out there, folks. Let me just break it down for you here real quick. It doesn't exist. I know you don't like it, but I want you to know the rules of the game. The construct we're playing is nobody can read your mind. Now, you can train someone to think like you think, and you can give them structure or systems to go through and think, how would Deanna handle this? How would Jeannie handle this? How would Christina handle this? It can work, but as Christina said, but it took a long time. I don't think most of us have that much time to pour into someone when we need to get results now. So, great work here. Let's move on to when we offer the part. So let's say we're going to offer the part as the director. We found an actor we like. We've considered how well they match the character. We've evaluated their skills and their talent to perform, and we've selected the best match. What do you do when making the final decision on which candidate will fill the role? I know all of you have done this, so I want to hear from you. Oh, Christina, nice revelation. My bad is I usually pick the first person. Yeah, Kim says pray. Hey, I'm always up for that. No doubt about it. Christina says pray too. Yeah, there's absolutely no reason why, if prayer is a part of your life, you're not seeking guidance from your higher power on if this person's a right fit. Ditto for praying. Look at all of us. We're a bunch of prayer warriors. And listen, if you're not a prayer, I recommend you try it, but that doesn't mean that that's the only option, right? It's good for us to check in with up above, whatever that means for you. I serve God, so that's what I call him. And I also am a left brain kind of person, right? So I always weigh the facts and the figures and the data as well, and I use both of those things, plus if I'm at peace about it, to make my decision. So some of the things you might want to consider are matching their skills and talents to the requirements of the role, ranking all of the candidates to see which one you might like best. Certainly you want to check references. Anita says, who followed my instructions best? Yeah, so if you get to try them out, you can absolutely see who followed instructions. But here's the thing about instructions. Everybody's on their best behavior at an interview or during a test task, right? It's like a first date. Well, we would assume most people are on their best behavior for first date. Boy, I got some stories for you there someday. But that's not necessarily who they're going to be when you start working with them. So that's helpful, but it's not the whole thing, right? It's all about all these different pieces coming together to give you a bigger picture of you. Nice work, everybody. Yeah, definitely the references. All right, so as we talk about talents and skills, I think it's going to be important for us to define the difference first. So using the chat to respond, how would you define the difference between skills and talent? Water is so good. Okay, Anita says, skills are learned, talent is intrinsic. Nice. Talent means you love doing it. It tends to be easy. I would say that that's probably true. Mm-hmm. Good. What else? Let's see here. I'm not sure who it is that's, Kim says, skills are marketable and professional, talent is more of a passion thing. It can be. It absolutely can be. And I don't think it's always that way either. Not that you're wrong, but yeah. I can definitely be talented and skilled in something, right? I want to just throw that out there and see what you all think. Talent equals good at it. Skills equals working at being good at it. That could be too. Yeah. Awesome. I'm not sure who it is that's called in on the phone, and the phone number ending 0363. I'd love to know who you are. I'm going to mute you for a second, and maybe you can say hi. Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Christina Hills. I'm just calling on the phone.
Cool. I just want to make sure
for me to do audio. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
So I'm in there again.
Thanks, doll.
Okay. Mute me back out. Okay.
Cool. All right. I like knowing who people are. All right, great. So here's how we're going to define it for the purposes of our time together today. Skills are a learned ability or behavior. And talent is a natural aptitude or preference. You do not want your candidate to possess only one or the other. You want both. So what do you think is gained if you hire people who possess both the talent and the skill for a particular role? I know you all know, because you've had people in your businesses or you've worked with people in other careers that have had both. Jeannie says, much easier to work with. Yeah, usually. Mm-hmm. Good. What else? Yeah, easier, Christina says. Yes. Mm-hmm. You'll have a Michael Jordan employee. Wouldn't that be something, Anita? And I know each of us has worked with people that are that perfect combination of skill and talent. And I don't say perfect, meaning they can't grow and develop, right? But where you have both together, and you can accomplish amazing things when you have that person in the right role, doing the work that is both their skill and their talent, right? They're just unstoppable. Like, our job as a leader is just to clear obstacles out of their way. Jeannie says, you don't have to train them so much. Absolutely. Good. All right. So to use our metaphor of directing a film, a director may review resumes of actors, call in the best prospects based on their experience and their training. In the audition, the director is able to assess the talent of the actor in order to match that person to the best role. Right. So using an example here, I'm going to ask you in a minute to think about a position in your own company and the talents and skills needed for that position. But first, we're going to review an example together. So suppose you're filling the position of a film director. A few of the skills you might look for include the ability to translate the script into a storyboard or a series of images representing the camera shots, the ability to communicate to the actors and the crew what their vision is so that it can be achieved through a particular scene or a line of dialogue. Those are the skills, right? Then the talents might be cast the best talent for the roles specified in the script, helping the actors to determine their motivations, their movements, their line delivery, so they can portray a compelling story, and relating all the aspects of filmmaking and striking a balance between the people and the technical concerns. I would add in there probably as well the budget, but that's just because I've been thinking about budget for my theater company plays a lot lately. So now I want you to think about a position in your own company, and I'd like you to jot down, and you can use the chat box if you like. Better yet, you could use page 3 in your participant guide if you were able to download and print that, or just a piece of paper and a pen. You don't need anything fancy. Jot down the skills and the talent needed for a position in your organization. That will help you to really determine which candidates possess the skills and talents that you're identifying here, right? Because if we don't have it written down, if we haven't really thought about it and gotten clear, it's going to be much harder to determine if that person is a fit. I'm going to give you just a second for that. And I'd love to have a volunteer unmute their line and share their work or get some help from me. And I see Anita says she's stuck. Anita, I'd love to help you with this. Can I unmute you and we work on this together? I know you're saying yes, so we're going to go for it. Hi, Anita. You have the microphone. Tell me a little bit about what kind of position you're looking to hire for.
I want someone to do marketing for me, to be able to get me exposure and perhaps create automated lead generation or just be on top of that so I'm getting in leads and then I can take the leads and go from there and show up and do what I'm brilliant at doing, which is talking to people.
Well, that's really what it's about, right, is that we work in our gifts and our talent and skill more often. Right? Because that's how the company gets the best return on investment for our time. If I'm doing general administrative work as the CEO, not the best use of my time, right? So when you think about this marketing role, are they coming up with strategy? Are they implementing your ideas? Are they coming with ideas to the table? Give me a little bit more around that.
I like it to be a little bit more collaborative, something that we can brainstorm together. Because I would have a part in it. I think as part of the marketing, they would need to know more about me as well. So there would be some things that I would need to do. But there are other things that don't necessarily require me to do that would be great for them to take off my plate so I could focus on, like I said, my strengths and what I'm best at doing, which is serving the clients.
That's right. Jeannie just chatted in, a coach must know my material that they will coach in, must be great with people, must have coaching skills, sales skills, and good follow-up. So, Jeannie, I think what you're referring to is like an associate coach role, and I'm absolutely right. That's part sales and part coaching, isn't it? So, Anita, going back to this example, what I'm hearing from you is you, because you mentioned brainstorming together, so they need to be a creative thinker.
Yes.
Which, my sense is that that's more talent than skill.
I would agree.
Okay. And you also said they're going to be implementing some lead generation stuff. So they probably need some technical skills for the lead gen systems that you use, like lead pages or get response or whatever the tools are that you're using. Ideally, they'd come to the table with those, right?
Correct.
Okay.
That'd be skill.
And because they're going to be juggling multiple marketing channels, Facebook, email, webinar, who knows what, they probably should be pretty organized and be able to keep a calendar and stay on top of. So I might call that project management and project planning skill. Let's see. If you want them repurposing some of your content, they might need to be a good writer.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
I think, too, some people are naturally organized as well. So some of that could be part of their natural aptitude.
I think so. I'm not saying that you can't learn to be more organized. I think that you can, and some people are born more with that desire to plan and order and create a checkbox and a list. I know that I'm that way, sometimes to an annoying level for the people in my life. But depending on the job, it becomes an asset, right?
Absolutely. I'd love a you.
Christina says, me too, super.
Me too, yeah.
Guys, stop. No, really, just, I can't go anymore. Yeah, so I think you're on the right track with knowing what you need. And what I would say is, this is a bonus tip for everyone. One thing that I find really helps is to sit down and think about what a day for them or a shift for them working for you would look like. So maybe first thing they're going to do is open their email and answer any urgent responses from you. And maybe you hop on the phone once a week and you have a brainstorming meeting. So what skills are required there? I've got a bonus for all of you that's going to help you with this too. So I want to give you a booklet that I created where I've broken down the most common traits, skills, and aptitudes, skills and talents that you might be looking for. And I've got interview questions for each competency, each talent, so that you can really use them to identify if this person's a fit or not. The booklet also works in that you end up with a nice long list of all these skills and talents. You can ask yourself, like, is this something I need for this role or not? And of course, there's always nice to haves, and then there's I've got to have it, right? So I think you're on the right track there, and you're very welcome, Anita. I'm going to go ahead and mute you now so we can keep moving forward, but just know we're here and we're going to keep moving forward. And yeah, everyone's going to get that interview booklet, interview questions by competency, as a follow-up to today's session. Yay. And you're actually going to leave today's session with some interview questions too. All right. Well, let's give Anita a virtual round of applause for participating. Thank you so much for that. I am just so grateful that you're willing to step up and ask for help as ladies. It's not always easy for us. Frankly, it's not easy for anyone, it seems like, when you're in a business role. And if you're building that skill, or it's a natural talent for you, I'm really happy for you. It's taking me a while to figure it out. And I think I'm getting pretty good at it. So now that we've identified some skills and talents required for the position, we want to use this information to develop interview questions. So as you develop questions to discover an applicant's talents, you've got to remember that talent is a natural aptitude, not just a skill. So for example, a skilled accountant could demonstrate that she has the experience and the skill to do the work by describing what she's able to do, you know, perhaps telling you about her education and the responsibilities she's held in previous jobs, right? A talented accountant could demonstrate that talent by describing how she's able to do the work. Her responses to questions would demonstrate her interest, her satisfaction in a job well done, and perhaps her enthusiasm. The applicants would be able to give specific examples and off the top of their head responses to indicate a talent for the work that needs to be performed. You know, when we all do work aligned with our talents, we want to do the best job possible. So I want to have you review some sample questions with me, and they're on pages 4 and 5 in your participant guide if you've had a chance to open that up. And in reviewing those questions, I'd like you to identify 2 or 3 questions that you find interesting or potentially useful in interviewing for talent. You can just place a check mark next to those questions. If you haven't had a chance to download yet, that, no worries. You can always come back to that later. If you have had a chance, I'd love to hear from some of you. What's one interesting or useful question that you checked? Oh, Anita, I'll make sure that you have it in the follow-up to the class. It was sent in the reminder today, which I'm not sure if you got or not. So I'll make sure you get it. Don't you worry. I'll take good care of you. Yes, I can definitely read a few. You guys are amazing. I love you. All right, so let's talk about... some of these crazy great questions. All right, so here's a few of my favorites. How about that? Is it even better? Tell me about a time when you overcame resistance to your ideas. Right, so I like to see if people take it personally when their idea isn't what's selected. Or how about what did you enjoy most about that role? What did you enjoy the least? using a prior role as an example. Here's a good one. Describe a situation when you made a decision and then you had to sell that decision to others. How did you do it? So this is a great question for someone who might be in sales, might be in an influencing or marketing position, maybe a project management role. And then lastly, another one of my favorites is, what disappointments did you experience in your last position? Gives you a sense of what they're really about, right? Yeah, you could say, describe for me a bad fit related to something in particular. I think you need to get a little bit more specific. I know in the chat you're being brief. So each question that you're going to have access to is really going to be one of four categories. We've got tell me questions, which, as you're not surprised, start with tell me about. Tell me about a project you initiated. Tell me about a time when you had to go above and beyond, right? Then we have get to know you questions. What is it you seek in a job? What makes a great manager for you? Then we have situation questions. So you're getting to past experience and then prior job questions. So now you're going to try your hand at writing a couple of questions yourself. I'd like you to focus on figuring out, can they do it? How well can they do it? And do they want the job? And I'd love to have you write one question that you might use in an interview for the position that you're hiring for or that you used in our prior example. And keep in mind, the can they do it questions are about skill. How well can they do it leads to questions about both skill and talents. And do they want the job kind of questions are typically about talent. So let's hear from one of you. How about in the chat box, you just give me an idea of one question you might want to use. There's no right or wrong here. What's your favorite thing about coaching? Nice, great question, Jeannie. You could even say, what's your most challenging thing about coaching too, to find out where they might struggle? Nice, love it. What's the most interesting part of the job description to you? Exactly, you guys are so on the right track. And I'm gonna give you oodles of interview questions that you can use going forward too. But it's always nice to have some in your back pocket that are really specific about the job as well. So going back to Anita's marketing position, I might ask specifically, what is it you love the most about marketing? Because if they don't like it, they don't have to necessarily love it, but if they don't like it, they're not going to be a good fit for it, right? All right, nice work, everybody. So, moving forward, I want you to know about some places where you might need to slow down and pay extra attention. I like to call these speed bumps. So that's a place where you might run into a difficulty. If you don't slow down and take care of it, it could end up blowing up, right? So in the seeking talent stage of the hiring process, you need to be paying attention to, are the skills and talents needed in the past still important today? So maybe you've had someone in the position, they've gone. Maybe they came with some extra skills or talents that may or may not be important going forward. It's always sad when we have someone great leave our team. Of course, we want wonderful things for them, but we're losing someone we've invested in. They may have brought things to the table that aren't needed, or they turns out they had skills and talents that you did need and you hadn't considered. Am I prejudging due to age or gender, appearance, or work style? Do I know how top performers in this job achieve their results? And do I know how top performers would answer my interview questions? So these are places where you want to make sure you really pay attention. And if you haven't thought about these issues, especially things like, do I know how top performers would respond or how they would achieve the results? You may end up selecting someone who could do the work but wouldn't really be a top performer. And I know sometimes we have to kind of take what we get, but I want to stop you from choosing people who aren't a good fit. I would rather see you have the position go open for a while and then hire the right person instead of hiring someone, have to turn them around because they didn't work out. And now you have the frustration of finding someone new. Jeannie asks, how do you know how top performers would respond? Such a great question. So I'd like to throw it out to everyone first. Of course, I know what I think, but there's a lot of wisdom in the room. So how do you think you might know how top performers would respond? Go ahead and chat that into the chat box and let's help out our sister Jeannie here today. Everyone's thinking so intently. That's good. Kim says, in your first exercise, when you asked us to choose who would play each part, it made me realize how much I do prejudge. You said the starlet spoke with a southern accent, so I ruled against the other woman since I couldn't picture it. Well, and that's in the theater too, right? I mean, we need people in film and theater to look like the part. Though I've seen people cast off type many times and it works too. Of course, we don't need to worry about that so much in our day-to-day work life. But I do think that if you've had someone in the position before and they've worked well, that's one way how you know top performers would respond. I also think reaching out to other people like me, like your colleagues on this call who have experience in hiring, can be really useful and helpful as well. Right. I think it comes down to the level of detail with which people answer questions like, how do they achieve results? You know, if someone's offering you detail, they probably know what they're doing a lot better than, oh, I would just do it. And I will tell you that generationally, it seems that the younger generation, millennials and whatnot, are much more brief in their responses and need to be drawn out a little bit more because they live in an email, texting, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter kind of world. It may take, you know, some time to draw them out a bit. I think it's one of those things where you know it when you hear it, or at the very least, you definitely know when they respond not as a top performer. Anita also says, how well do their interview responses match as well as the reference comments? Yeah, that's a good point as well. So in our global economy, it's now really common to conduct interviews in person, over the phone, and via web camera like we're doing now. So I'm curious, from your perspective, what are some of the differences you face in conducting interviews, whether in person, via phone, or via the web? Yeah, Anita says, if by phone or web, tech issues can be a problem. It sure can. And if I'm hiring someone who's going to work remotely for me, I can't assume that the tech problem they're experiencing is because they're not capable. But I like to see how they handle it, too. Yes, you've got to be aware of time zones. Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people hire someone without really digging into that issue. And so then they wonder why that person's not online when it's 3 o'clock in the morning their time. Now, granted, depending on the area of the globe where they live, they may be working U.S. hours and they may live like an opposite schedule, but that's something that a lot of people forget to ask about from the very beginning. Good. So though the setting for the interview may change, there's one model, my model I'm going to share with you now, that we can apply consistently across all those settings. And this is my interviewing for talent model. It's 5 steps, and they are the 5 steps involved in interviewing for talent. So we're going to go through each of them and make sure that you understand how to implement each one effectively so that you end up hiring the best talent for your position. So the first step is to establish rapport by setting the stage, putting them at ease, and explaining the interview process. And this is really important so that you can establish trust with that person, and then by virtue of that experience, the real person that you're interviewing. What would be some things you would do to put your candidate at ease? make them laugh. Nice, Anita. I like that. It's a good sense to see what their sense of humor is like, too. I mean, they're probably nervous, so that'll help a lot. I make crummy jokes all the time. If someone laughs at them, I'm really kind of impressed. Yeah, you got to have humor on the team for sure. Nice. What else could you do to put this person at ease? All right, while you're chatting and more answers, I'm going to share a couple of my favorites with you. Firm handshake, not to crush their hand and not weak either. Introducing yourself, using their name when you address them, offering them something to drink if it's in person, walking them to the room where they're going to be interviewed if they're in person, right? Making sure to explain the process so they know what's clear, what's going to, you know, going to happen, and then letting them know that you're going to be taking notes. All useful things that you can do to put that person at ease. Second step in our process involves asking open-ended questions that will elicit a variety of responses. Closed-ended questions just won't provide you with the insights that you need, right? Because it limits what people are able to say. Closed-ended means yes or no. So you want to listen to their responses, and you want to listen for what a top performer would say. So let me give you an example. If you ask a salesperson how they close a sale, a poor performer may not understand what that means, close a sale, right? An average performer might give you a vague response, but a top performer is going to have very specific details on how they close a sale, such as, I asked the client, if we can reach an agreement on the issue, can we sign the contract today? Okay. The most important thing I find here, especially if you're newer to interviewing, is to ask the question and then apply virtual duct tape and be quiet after asking the question. You know, we tend to fill the silence with chatter, or we over-explain the question if we're nervous, and then it doesn't give that person an opportunity to give their truest answer. For those of you that identify as extroverted, you might want to do what I do, which is ask the question and be silent and kind of slowly count to 10 inside my head to give them time to respond. And this is particularly important when you're working with someone in a virtual interview, because there may be a bit of a lag between when you ask the question, but some people like to actually think about their answer before they say anything. So step three in our process is to listen for the specifics. You want to listen for responses detailing past experiences, listen for specific examples of actually performing the function, and then give credit to those off the top of the head responses that might indicate how internalized and how natural a skill or task has become for them. So in this step, you want to pay attention to both the verbal and the nonverbal responses. This is why I do recommend, if you're going to do virtual interviews, you do a webcam so you can at least see them, because so much of what we communicate is the nonverbal stuff, right? Like they say in recent studies, up to 70% of your message is the nonverbal. So for example, if you've asked for an example of how an applicant might resolve a difficult situation, you might want to notice their tone of voice that they use to describe the incident. Top performers might actually relish the challenge of turning around a difficult customer, or might actually demonstrate compassion in their understanding of a customer's problem. Their tone of voice can give you information about how they feel about handling situations like that. In comparison, tone of voice of an average performer might convey that it's a necessary evil of customer service work to deal with those difficult customers. Step four in our process is to describe the position itself. Now, there's no need to go on and on about this. You want to be brief. Focus on the requirements of the most critical job areas. Now, you'll notice that we kept this till step four in our process. What do you think the advantage is of giving the job description at the end of the interview? Let's hear from a few of you. I may have stumped you. Did I stump you? Right. Well, let me share with you what I think it is. Oh, great. Anita says, if you give too much early, they'll be focused on that versus being present. Yes. And I can repeat the question. Absolutely. What is the advantage of describing the position at the end of the interview? So Anita, you're definitely, that's definitely one piece, right? Is that by having it at the end, the candidate is not feeding your responses, feeding you responses that they want you to hear. And by focusing on only the most critical areas at the end of the interview, they're more likely to remember the key components. If you haven't, if you've already determined that that person's not a fit, then you're not going to waste your time with the description at the beginning. And you're right. You also get to know them first, right? So if I know you're looking for someone who's positive and upbeat, then I'm subconsciously probably going to try to be positive and upbeat instead of just being myself. Now, Deanna, I'm positive and upbeat for the most part, I think, right? So if you said you need someone serious at the beginning, I might tone it down. And you're not getting the real picture of who I am. So that's why we recommend you put it at the end of the interview. Great work, everybody. Step 5 in our process is to close on a positive note. Thank them for interviewing and thank them for the time and the effort they put into coming to talk with you. Don't make promises you can't keep. So instead, you might want to say, I hope to get back to applicants by next Friday. However, if you haven't heard from me by next Saturday, please send me a quick email. And finally, you want to remember what it's like to be in their shoes and waiting to hear back from a prospective, you know, employer. You want to communicate those outcomes of when you expect to be back to someone by, because that demonstrates your respect for them as a candidate. And everyone wants to be respected. So our director's notes remind us that the best indicator of future performance is similar past performance. If you agree with that, in the chat box, go ahead and say yes. And if that's not something that you agree with, go ahead and say no if you disagree. Jeannie says yes with an exclamation point. I love it. Kim says yes also. Not necessarily. Good. I'd like to actually hear from you on that, Anita, because I think you may have a really useful point for us. So I'm going to unmute you here for a second. So Anita, you've got the mic. Tell me, why do you think the best indicator of future performance is similar? You don't agree that the best indicator of future performance is similar past performance?
I guess that just brings back my financial services days. When we always talked about funds, just because it performed well in the past doesn't mean it's going to necessarily perform well in the future, because there are different kinds of variations or variables that can take place in between. And like people, we evolve, we grow, and sometimes we do things differently. Things happen, things trigger us. And I just don't necessarily think that's always the case. Is it the case sometimes? Yeah, sure. Yep. But to just say point blank, yeah, it's always the case, no, because I know I've changed along the way.
That's
and
right.
What I did before, I don't necessarily do now, or maybe I don't do it as well because I didn't do it for a while and it just kind of lost its effect. Kind of like if you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing.
Yes.
So I just kind of believe in being in the present and evaluating based on what I'm seeing now. Yes, some of their experience, definitely take that into consideration, and then just looking forward to what it is that I really want.
Yeah.
With and for this person.
I think what I'm hearing you say and the way I might summarize that is just because someone performed the job well in the past doesn't mean that they'll do it in the future, and they just might. There's more to be seen or more to know about them to know if that's really true.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you. So here's the thing about this too, right? And I think what Anita was heading to is that doesn't mean that you only hire people with the exact experience outlined in your job description, right? Because in general, past performance is a good indicator of future performance. However, it's pretty rare that the past role is exactly like the role you're hiring for. Other times, their past experience may not look related, but during the interview, you discover that their skills and talents really are. You know, someone doesn't have to have done the exact job before to be successful. I mean, there's so many examples stories of administrative assistants who've gone on to become leaders themselves. You know, there are frontline workers who have gone on to open their own business and lead entire organizations. So sometimes having the potential to grow into a role is even better than a perfect skill match. And what I think I want you to walk away with here is that it's an art, not a science. Yes, we have, you know, a proven formula for you. Interview questions that help. And there are things that all of you have done or seen done really well that we haven't even talked about yet. So what types of best practices do you follow when interviewing? I'd love to hear from a few of you. If you have something that you know you've done that works really well, or it's been done sort of to you as you've been the interviewee, let's hear some best practices. Kim already shared one, so I want to go back to that in the chat. She said that she likes to have multiple interviews with people at different times of day. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, Kim, but I think that was the gist of your their piece. And that, you know, if you have the time to do that, I think it's a really good idea, because they're definitely going to be less nervous on that second interview because they've already had some experience with you, right? Other best practices that you can think of? Yeah, Kim says people have different energy levels at different times of day too. Boy, is that true. I am not good in the morning. As much as I want to be a morning person, and theoretically I know I could become one, my natural schedule is I'm definitely good in the evening more than I am in the morning. So not a morning person, Anita says, yeah. And Kim says she's on the, I am spot on in the morning, see? So this is good to know, right? If I'm going to hire someone to be at the front desk of my brick and mortar business, and I know I need them to work morning shift and they're a night person, maybe not a good idea. So the purpose of interviewing for talent is to discover whether that person's recurring patterns of thought, feeling, skill, abilities, and behaviors match the job. So I want to give you some general rules of thumb. Using a team approach to interviewing candidates, if you can, have a colleague, have a VA, someone on your team, interview this person also. Really letting them reveal themselves to you instead of you probing and prodding to get the information you're looking for. Being quiet and letting them talk. You want to deflect questions that you might get too early on in the process. Again, this goes back to why we share the job description near the end. Do you answer too many questions during when you're questioning them? You may be unintentionally guiding their answers, accepting their answers. You want to limit probing for specifics if they don't give them to you. Again, this is about getting to the real person, knowing how top performers respond, and then allowing them to ask questions at the end. So I want to just give you a brief review of those. And, you know, a lot of times people have this question around accepting their answers. So I want to just say that, you know, you don't want to fish for a better answer. Remember to give credit to that off-the-top response. If the applicant responds with a specific answer immediately, then odds are they've exhibited that behavior often and are going to do so again. If they're vague, I wouldn't necessarily ask for specific examples, because a top performer is going to give them to you off the bat, right? And if the example is vague and not specifically related to what you ask, don't fall into the trap of asking to get more specifics. You know, if they need more than two probing questions to really describe something specifically, it's likely that the behavior needed is not a repeated pattern for them, and it's not an example of what their performance would be. Okay. So looking at establishing rapport, I would love to share with you an example of what that might sound like. You think that'd be useful? We've actually got one for you in your participant guide. I'm going to pull it up here on my iPad so that you can hear what it might sound like. And actually, let's do something here real quick. All right. I'm going to go back to this. There we go. Okay. So here's the example from the participant guide for establishing rapport. Hi, Alex. My name is Deanna. Please have a seat. Would you like anything to drink? I want to be I want to explain that my goal for the interview is to focus solely on learning about your talents. I'll be asking questions and giving you lots of opportunities to share about yourself. A little later, I'll provide a brief description of the job. Easy peasy lemon squeezy, right? Now, I'm going to leave it to you to write what you would say for step one after today's session. It's not that it is important, but it's fairly straightforward. So we're going to move forward now into helping you prepare open-ended questions. So you want to make sure that as you're interviewing and you're letting them reveal themselves, that you're asking questions, as we've already covered in our example. So and letting them know that you're going to be asking them a series of questions. So our example might be, I'd like to find out more about you, Alex, through a series of questions. Let's look first at the area of working in general. What do you enjoy most about working? Then I would ask follow-ups like, what is it you seek in a job? What are some of the things in a job that are important to you? Now, of course, you would allow each interviewee to answer each question before moving on to the next one, but for the purposes of our time together, we're going to move forward. And what I'm going to recommend before you go into hiring for your next position, that you jot down a couple of questions to get that applicant to begin sharing more about themselves. You can use the questions developed earlier in the module. You can use the examples I'm giving you in our follow-up as well. In step three, you want to listen for specifics. So most of preparation is mental, right? You want to remind yourself to stay focused on listening for details and their response that would indicate past experience relating to the role that they're expected to fulfill. That includes specific examples, time, person, event of what they've done, as well as those off the top of the head thoughts and ideas that indicate that repetitive behavior that we're looking for. In step four, when you go about describing the position, you want to keep it brief and focus on critical job functions of high performance. So using the example of the film director, you might say something like, the position of film director involves visualizing and breaking down elements of a script or scene and communicating that vision to the actors and crew. It also entails translating that vision into acting and camera work. Bottom line, the job of a film director is to create an effective film by bringing a written script to life visually. So I want you, before you go to hire your next position, to really think about what that brief, 100 words or less description is of the position. This also, by being brief, elicits them to ask questions of you. And frankly, if they don't ask me anything, I know I've probably spoke too much during the interview process. Step five is to close on a positive note. So a sample of what that might sound like is, my goal for this interview was to explore your many talents, which I'll be evaluating to see how they fit the requirements for the job. I want to be sure I've allowed you ample opportunity to share. What else might you want me to know? And then, of course, wait for them to answer. My next step is to finish the interview process for all the applicants by, give a date, and then make a decision by the next date, unless the need for second interviews arise. You can expect to hear from me no later than date concerning my decision. Thank you, Alex, for expressing your interest in this position. So I'm going to leave it to you to write what you would say. Of course, you can take this script and use it exactly as it is, just replacing their name. And if you're doing this virtually, you can have it right up on your computer as well. So you don't have to do it, off the top of your head. I've given you scripting for things that you can say each step of the process, as well as the questions you might ask. All right. So, let's see here. I want to move on to, there we go. We've got two actions in our process, right? We've got hiring the best talent includes seeking the talent and interviewing the talent next. We've covered that. Now we have to get through to like actually making the selection, right? So now that I've done the interviews, I've talked to several people, I want to let you know that if you follow these first two steps, selecting the person is going to be so much easier. It's still going to require some thought, some care, some consideration, but everything you've done up to this point has really paved the way smoothly for you to make this important decision. So the most important things to be done are to evaluate the responses of the applicants, match their talents and skills to the requirements of the job or position, to narrow the field down to a final few candidates, and then check their references. So when asking reference check questions, maybe you won't even be able to decide, you know, between the candidates after doing them. That'll happen. So in a minute, I'm just going to give you some tips on how to decide among candidates that you feel like are of equal talent. But remember, more than anything, your intuition is important. It's if your gut feelings tell you that a candidate is likely to excel at the job, great. If your gut says you can't, you know, really trust your gut to know that that person is going to be a fit, that's really useful to pay attention to. And as many of you said, you can pray too. I like to have the information all in place so I can see it. That's the N in my ENFJ, in case you know the theory. So for complex hiring decisions or one where you're having difficulty selecting the best person, I want to recommend you use a talent matching grid. And the steps are outlined in the participant guide. I'm going to show you one right now on the screen. And I want to walk you through how I use this. So first thing you want to do is you want to begin by listing the key skills and talent required for the job in the left-hand column. Next, you want to weigh or assign a weight to each item, and your weight should total 100%. Then you list your final candidates across the top of the grid. So after you've prepared the grid, you're ready to evaluate your candidates. You work horizontally, focus on one talent or skill. Consider which of your candidates is your best performer and matches that skill most. You give that person a 5, which is the highest rank. And then notice you have a line that divides the squares for each candidate. You can write the rank in the upper half of the square. And then decide how the rest of the candidates measure up. You may have more than one 5. And you can assign a person a 0 if they don't possess that talent or skill. And on page 14 in your participant guide, we've got a blank one for you to use. And you're welcome to copy that and use that as much as you want. So when you're interviewing, you can work through each of those talents and skills and put them in place, write your candidates across the top, and be ready to rank or weigh each of those skills required. And just write that score in the box beneath each one for the criteria. Then once you've determined the weighted scores, you can determine the total for each candidate. So looking at our example, you'll notice that the first key talent or skill is really only worth 10%. It's not that important to me. But the last one listed has 30% to it. It's really important. And our second candidate blew it out of the water and did an amazing job. So do you see how you can use the skill and talent matching grid to help you make your final decision? Let me know in the chat box if you think this is something you might want to try. Help you see everything in one place. Jeannie says, really cool. Thanks. You know, it may not be for everyone. It might be a little too left-brained and system-y for you. But, you know, the thing about systems is they really do save you time, energy, and money. And they help you to make an objective decision and a subjective decision. Jeannie says, that's what I need, more left brain. There you go. Yeah. It's a great tool for comparing your candidates among the most weighted criteria. And it really helps you thinking, like, what are the things I need the most of? And what are the nice to haves? It can really help you to differentiate among strong candidates and hire the best talent, which of course is what we want you to do. So one last area I want to discuss with you today before we start to wrap up is the area of discrimination. As I'm sure you're probably well aware, there are many federal, state, and local laws to prohibit discrimination against an applicant for employment based on certain attributes. So I want to hear from some of you. What attributes do you think are protected by law? Go ahead and use the chat box and let me know what you think. race, age. Yep, good. What else? Gender, sex. If they're disabled, their sexual orientation. Absolutely. Religion. Yep. I think you've got most of them. Let's see here. We have age, race, disability, national origin, which can be different from race, right? Religion, sex, sexual orientation, and one that often gets forgotten, and most of us think, oh, I would never discriminate against them, is veteran status. But I can tell you, Anita, I'm sure you probably thought of that, being that your hubby was in the service. The thing is if someone is an active reservist, I could absolutely see a company knowing that, saying, maybe we don't want to hire them because they're going to get called up for duty. And that is absolutely illegal. And here's how you know that you're asking a question related to one of these things. This is a big bonus tip and a differentiator. It's that those things, age, disability, race, sex, sexual orientation, are all meant to be, they're about the person. They're not about the role. The only thing that might get a little confused in your mind here is around disability, right? So the question isn't, are they in a wheelchair? It's, do they have the ability to lift 50 pounds or not? Right? Honestly, I'm not sure I could lift 50 pounds day in and day out, and I'm not disabled at all. So when you look at creating questions, you want to ask, is this about the role or is it about the person? If it's about the person, it may be an illegal question, especially if it speaks to one of these areas of protected status. So you want to keep that in mind. You know, in many of our businesses, they're small, we're hiring contractors. You might not think it's that big of a deal, but I want you to build the skill right now. So as your company grows and as you take this skill forward, you've got best practices in place instead of having to change your behavior when you get into a bigger company. Sound good? All right. So as we start to wrap up, I want you to think back over the key points we've covered today. And then we're going to use the chat window to identify what behaviors or actions you're going to keep doing, the ones you want to start doing, and which ones you want to stop doing. So let's start with, what is it that you'd like to keep doing that you've done before that's worked really well? Let's hear from a few of you. Ooh, I'm out of water. Good thing we're almost wrapped up, right? So what do you want to keep doing? Anita says asking for recommendations from applicants. Asking colleagues for referrals. Absolutely. Continue trusting my instincts. Great job, Kim. Good. And what do you think you might want to start doing that you haven't been doing so much before? Let's hear from a few of you. Jeannie says, write clear job descriptions. Awesome. Creating clear roles and JDs for recruitment. Oh, job descriptions. Awesome. And Kim says, I thought it was interesting to leave the job description until the end. Yeah, cool. All right. And is there anything that you've identified you might stop doing that you were doing before that now looking at the model that I've shared with you might not be the best fit for you? Anita says, all the work myself. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to hear that. Now, I know you've outsourced in the past. Jeannie, you have as well. I know you've had interns as well. The thing is that there's still going to be work for us. It's just, are we being mindful about what we're spending time on, and is it the best use of our time as the CEO, right? We can't outsource everything. There are still things that we need to keep because we are the vision keeper for the business. And we don't have unlimited money, so we have to be mindful about what we're delegating, making sure it's the best use of our time. As a matter of fact, that leads me to tell you that our very next class together is You Don't Have to Do It Yourself, delegating smartly to free up your time and get better results. It's going to be next Wednesday, July 20th at 11 a.m. Pacific, and you're going to learn exactly what to delegate, when to delegate, and who to delegate it to. I'm going to help you avoid the big mistakes I see people make, which happens a lot, so you don't lose tons of money reworking and redoing and staying up late when you need something done, you know, tomorrow and they didn't do it right. What delegation is and what it's not. And I'm going to share with you my exact model for delegating smartly. Plus, you're going to get my delegation planning worksheet and a couple of other goodies as well, because you know I always love to give bonus goodies. So you can register now for just $97 and get in on that class. And all you have to do is head on over to, and I'm going to put this in the chat box for you, now.delegatedtodone.com/supercharge. I believe that's right. And as a matter of fact, I'll make sure that you know something really important here as well. So when you go over to that webpage, what you're going to find is that's the wrong link. That's what you're going to find. I love it. I should have had my team make sure I had the right one. Let's try delegatedtodone.com/supercharge. I know that that's right. So when you get over to that page, and I'm going to share it with you right now so that you can see it, you're going to want to make sure that you look at the options. You can register for just the next class, or if you'd like to get all five parts in our Supercharger Team Results series, you can get in for just $297. So that means you're getting all five classes, which normally retail for $97, for just $297. Plus, you get a private power hour consulting session with me to look at how these things apply to your existing team. You can really work on anything together during that process. So go ahead and head on over there so that you can make sure to get in on next week's class. As we start to wrap up for today, what I would love to know from each of you is, what's one thing that you are really taking away from our time together today? I'd love to hear from a few of you, actually even unmute you. So if you have a takeaway, go ahead and put in a little something in the chat box to let me know, and we'll make sure that we hear from you so that we can celebrate your success. So what did you find most useful, valuable, or helpful during our time together today? All right, we're going to unmute Coach Anita. Anita, you've got the mic. Go ahead.
Thank you. I get tired of typing. So I absolutely adore the analogy you use with the directors and actors and all this stuff, because it made it so crystal clear and a lot more fun to think about. Because when I think about job duties, descriptions, and hiring, and it's like, and it feels overwhelming, and it feels like something I just truly don't even want to do. But when I think about it as a director, and I'm creating roles to hire actors and characters, and I'm looking at their talents and their skills and things like that, that feels so much better, and it feels a lot more fun, and it really feels like something I can actually do. So I love that.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. And, you know, that's the thing is I think people sometimes think this is like magic, or it's something that I was born with, but it's not. It's anyone can do this, and it does take, you know, taking action, but I know that you're going to do that, and you're going to rock it out the next time, and I can't wait to celebrate that with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here today. All right, let's hear from, let's see, Jeannie says, love the idea of casting versus hiring, and Anita also said, I give great bonus goodies. It's true, I do. I love giving goodies. Let's see here. I see that Kim said, thank you, Deanna. Your approach is fun, and it works. Oh, you guys are so great. I'd love to see your beautiful faces here before we close. So, Miss Jeannie, would you mind if I put your camera and unmuted you so I can see your beautiful face? Everyone else can too.
Okay.
All right. I believe we can see you now.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. And you said you love the idea of casting versus hiring. So what do you think you might do differently going forward?
Oh, it just took it from this big, ugly chore to a big, fun game for me, really finding a fit and a talent. I love the idea just to take the pressure away.
I love the idea of making it a game for you, because I know you dig that, right?
Yes,
Totally. Awesome. Thanks so much. All right. Let's see here. All right. Well, we are just 1 minute to the hour. I want to thank you so much for being here with me today. I want to remind you that your time is your most precious commodity. And once a moment's gone, you can never get it back. And we owe it to our clients, to our families, to our community, to make sure we make each and every moment count. I hope to see you next week at You Don't Have to Do It Yourself, Delegating Strategies That Work, or at another class in the future. Until then, be well, and I love you, and I'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.